Money and markets. The Greek elections were anticlimactic. Many people were worried about what was going to happen in the markets the next day. The pro-bailout candidate won, so that's the pro-euro candidate, won by a very small margin with 30% of the vote, and it's moving to form a government that could broker its way to majority support for the bailouts. Not an easy thing to do, but the end of the world did not follow the next day, albeit after the Fed response and the Fed meeting on Wednesday and more bad news, which we'll talk about in this section. Let's see what happens over the next few days, because we do have problems. S&P says Greece is essentially shut out of the corporate bond markets as the world divides into those who can print currency and those who cannot. But the Eurozone troubles continue. Up on the blog, a great piece about the extent of European corporate debt that matures over the next few years. A great deal of it issued by financials in the UK, Germany, France, and Switzerland, how they're supposed to roll over that debt in the face of sovereign governments throughout the world and throughout Europe who have rising debt and falling GDP is a big question. More attention on Spain and efforts to bail out Spain and an ECB lending facility. Apparently the ECB is mulling setting up a bad bank in Spain, and bad banks can, in these situations, make a lot of sense. In Asia, we see Asia grappling with the EU-Iran sanctions, which go into effect on July 1st. And lo and behold, the Japanese Prime Minister has ordered two nuclear facilities back online in face of pretty strong, widespread public opposition to doing that. And the government has also asked consumers to cut electrical usage by 15% to avoid blackouts. At the same time, another interesting story up in the blog from Asia: there are now more millionaires in Asia than there are in North America, in the U.S. And that's a very, that's a very quiet but important political event. And take a look; it's a very interesting article. Again, in the Middle East, the EU sanctions on Iran go into effect on July 1st. Indeed, with the dramatic drops in the oil price today, dipping below the $80 line to 78, almost the question is whether the oil cart interests want Iran to shut down the straits. Let's see what happens, but July 1st is an important date, and again, the political tensions there are strong. The U.S. economy, the Fed met on Wednesday. This is a long-anticipated meeting, Operation Twist, which was announced last year. It was sort of, we had QE1, QE2, and then Operation Twist, which has gone for 9 months and has pumped $400 billion in twisting the yield curve. Was to end on June 30. And Ben Bernanke, after the meeting, held a press conference, looked rather shaky and a little bit gray, announced lower growth in the U.S. economy, projecting that unemployment would still be high at the end of the year. For a Fed chairman to do that in a presidential election year is like driving a stake in the heart of the current administration. What he did announce is the Fed's decision to extend Operation Twist. Again, it was going to end on June 30 with another $267 billion issuance of short-term Treasury debt. The short-term debt will be issued and purchased, will be used to purchase and retire long-term debt. So again, twisting the yield curve. The goal has been to bring and is to bring long-term interest rates down. They're down very low, but in theory they could be brought lower, and certainly shortening the duration of outstanding debt. The lower long-term interest rates are intended to translate into lower borrowing costs for the mortgage market. So if you've been looking at refinancing your mortgages, you want to pay attention now to what this might do. And lower borrowing costs for governments, corporations, and municipalities. I said earlier, all these sovereign governments are struggling with rising debt and a lower GDP, bringing down the interest rate on the cost of their debt certainly provides some relief. That includes municipalities, which are also in this country struggling and throughout the world struggling with big debt loads. It also means lower interest earnings for pension funds and investors who are dealing with tremendous drops in yields. You have a little bit of a shrinkage going on here around everybody. Expect to get a new round of home refinancing offered in your mail and other refinancings offered in your mail as soon as this happens. The next thing you know, most of us get spurts of attractive offers for more cheap money. Also announced this week at the same time that the Fed announced their extension of Operation Twist, we see congressional decisions to not extend extended unemployment benefits and to block an effort to restore $4.5 billion in funding for food stamps. If there's anything that's supportive of spending in the economy, it's providing these kinds of benefits to the folks who are struggling most, because they certainly, they don't hoard it or save it, they spend it right away. And the fact that Congress is doing this at the same time that Ben is announcing not a generous QE3, but just extending Operation Twist, is certainly an indication of tough fiscal policy at the same time we have tough monetary policy, trying to get the monetary growth back from the huge printing that happened during QE1 and QE2. Bernanke alluded in his press conference for the need for other agencies of government to do more rather than the Fed, and you almost wonder if he wasn't pointing his finger at Congress. I have to ask the question, is it a plan? Obama has been running ads saying the economy is better, and here you have the Fed chairman trying to persuade people on national TV that the economy is slowing down and is getting worse, and Congress doing the best thing they possibly can to make that a reality. Kind of makes you wonder whether the Bilderbergers did decide they wanted Romney. To make matters worse, at the end of the day, Moody's has announced a downgrade of 15 major global banks, including a 2-level drop of Morgan Stanley and a 3-level drop of Credit Suisse, but many of the big banks globally are affected, including J.P. Morgan Chase. The article will be up on the blog tomorrow, but you can obviously pick it up at the top of Yahoo Finance or Bloomberg. So here we have the Fed dropping the cost of people's borrowing costs by doing Operation Twist, and just as they drop the cost of capital, Moody's raises it. So you kind of once again you see there's a war going on, and as it happens again, Romney's chances of winning the election are skyrocketing. Rasmussen reports that in their presidential tracking poll, we now have Mitt Romney ahead of Obama 13 days straight in a row, at 47-43. If you look at a roundup at Real Clear Politics, you see a very different picture, although they may not be as current. We have Bloomberg with Obama up 13. That was from June 15th to June 18th. We have Associated Press showing Obama ahead by 3, and Rasmussen and Gallup showing Romney ahead. But clearly, Romney is catching up, and every indication, whether it's rating agencies or Congress or the Federal Reserve, seems to be making life very, very tough on the administration. Sure enough, this morning we saw, in response to what happened to the Fed yesterday, a real meltdown across the board. We saw the S&P 500, let me start in Asia. Asia was down. The Hong Kong exchange was down about 1.3. Then Europe down, not as bad, down about a point. S&P down about 2.23%. Oil down 4%. The 10-year bond, not up, but down 1.46%. And then gold down about 3.1, didn't take a hit as much as oil, but certainly took a hit. So I want to update Franklin's comments last week on the precious metals market report. He was recommending that the gold-silver ratio had reached a point where you wanted to consider swap into silver, given what's happened in the market and how weak the silver chart looks. That's certainly not, in my opinion, a time to consider doing that. Up on the blog as well, a great piece from Kiplinger on pesky fees, the little fees that are being added to cell phones, train tickets, plane tickets, new cars, credit cards. I was traveling by plane around the country with lots of different planes and carriers and switching planes in different places, and the pesky fee and how much money it can cost you is enormous. And Kiplinger's has a great article to help you sort of understand what those are. Keep an eye out and see if you can't protect yourself. And two really nice pieces worth taking a look at on the blog. Again, I mentioned the article in World Wealth Report about the Asian millionaires passing North America. that's worth taking a look at. But a reminder that entrepreneurship, no matter what the economic conditions are, finds a way. We saw it's called 10 Ideas That Made $100 Million, and it's a list of businesses that are quite simple and, you know, they're not rocket scientists that turned into businesses worth more than $100 million by entrepreneurs like you and me, people very much like you and me. And it's a wonderful and inspiring thing to look at and remind you of all the opportunities that are available no matter what the economic conditions. Under governments this week, we had a real brouhaha. The U.S. Trade Representative has been in treaty negotiations for something called the Trans-Pacific Partner. A copy got leaked. Apparently, these negotiations have happened in secret without the knowledge of the responsible Congressional Committee. That's the Subcommittee on International Trade, Customs, and Competitiveness, and has literally been denied access to the language. Apparently, the trade representative said that they kept the negotiations secret because if people knew about them, they'd object to them. Well, absolutely, they'd object to them. I mean, it would essentially limit U.S. jurisdiction over foreign companies in the United States. Foreign courts could order U.S. taxpayers to make payments to foreign companies that didn't want to comply with U.S. laws, circumventing U.S. courts, but dipping into our pocketbooks. And it offers incentives for more outsourcing of U.S. jobs to and investment to lower-cost companies. Just to make matters worse, on the employment front, we have Lockheed doing a very persuasive job of squawking about what's going to happen and how many people are going to get laid off and how it's going to ripple through the defense procurement sort of job force chain if that happens. I couldn't think of anything more dreadful for the sitting administration in the election, and it just added up to more pile-on bad news for Obama. We also have the Farm Bill going through. That's the vehicle where there's been a refusal to restore the $4.5 billion on food stamps, which is pretty serious. The food stamp use in this country is up from 26 million in 2007 to 43 million. Very, very big jump. Many, many families highly dependent on food stamps, and often those are families with children or elderly or disabled people. The Farm Bill is looking to cut $24 billion in farm program cuts over the next 10 years. So again, the fiscal realities are coming in everywhere. Wild cards. There's a very interesting documentary by Jim Nichols, UFOs in the Military-Industrial Complex, and it has a very interesting point of view on the sort of history, the centralization, the move to central control, and it's in the wild cards, and it's pretty interesting, and you might want to take a look at it.